Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about living your faith in the everyday, ordinary ways that you live your life. And I happen to really love to discover faith through good books. Today, we're going to be talking about a good book about following Padre Pio with my guest today, Brett Thoman. And this is a special day because we're going to be talking about Padre Pio, and today is his birthday, which is why I particularly picked and asked Brett to wait just a few weeks to come on so that we could talk about him on this special day. Padre Pio is super important in my life. We'll talk about that as we go on, but he also happens to share a birthday with my birth father, who has passed away 5 years ago. So he's my spiritual dad and my birth dad. So this is a really, really special day for me. And I'm really thrilled to be sharing this book with you and my guests. This is Following Padre Pio, and I'm going to let him give you the subtitle because it's got Italian in it. You know, I struggle with English. Don't ask me to pronounce anything Italian. Brett Thoman, thank you so much for being with me.
Well, thanks for having me, Allison. It's a real joy. So the name of the book is Following Padre Pio, a journey of discovery from San Giovanni Rotondo to from Pietrocina to San Giovanni Rotondo. So from his birthplace to the place he lived for 50 years and where he died.
And this book is out from Icona Press. So tell us first a little bit about yourself, Brett. He's in Italy, and he just showed me the beautiful view he has. I have a home office view envy right now. I'm looking at a highway. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Brett.
Sure. Well, I live in Loreto, Italy. And so I just showed Allison just a few moments ago the top of the dome of the Basilica of the Holy House of Mary. So it's about a mile and a half from here. I go there every day for my prayer. And we have the three walls that are from 99.9% sure that they're from Nazareth, and they were detached from the grotto beneath the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth and brought here in 1294, according to tradition by angels, but perhaps by crusaders, according to some modern evidence. So we have this here. I've been here for 9 years, and I'm married to an Italian woman. I have three children from 18, 15, and 5. And it's a lot of activity over here. We're kind of a bilingual, bi-national household. We're all dual citizens. We all speak English. We all speak Italian. I make a living by translating books, writing books. And also I have a pilgrimage company called St. Francis Pilgrimages. And up until the pandemic, that was my main activity. Since the pandemic, it slowed down. Now it's coming back. But I organize in a company from time to time pilgrimages throughout, mostly in Italy, but occasionally beyond to the Holy Land. I've had groups to Spain, Portugal, Fatima, Medjugorje, France, but predominantly Italy. So I have lots of people coming over. Nowadays, I've got smaller groups, families and so forth, and individuals, and I help them prepare their itinerary or accompany them. Before that, I was a pilot. Before that, I worked as a minister on a mission team in New York. I did a little bit of teaching and kind of a handful of things. But this is really something I've been doing for 20 years now with our pilgrimage work. And it's kind of a calling, I think. Also, too, my education, I have a master's degree in Italian from Middlebury College and a degree in languages from the University of Georgia. Also, a certificate in Franciscan studies. And I'm also a professed member of the Third Order of St. Francis. So, Padre Pio, I love Padre Pio. I have a very strong devotion to him. And Allison, I look forward to hearing your story. But I had some very strong encounters with him. And the more people I meet, it just doesn't surprise me anymore, because I hear people all the time who say, you know, I had a dream about Padre Pio, or I smelled roses, or he appeared to someone who was going through a period of a tough time. He's that kind of saint who just gets into people's lives and their hearts and really transforms them. And also he transforms people around them too, because they say that if he gets into one person's heart, he gets into your entire family. So he's a great, very powerful intercessor saint. And I'm happy to be connected to him, and also happy to be here with you today.
Well, clearly, Brett, you are a slacker. I mean, you need to step it up a little bit. Clearly, okay. Really, you know, no life goals met there at all. We're talking today with Brett Thoman about his new book, Following Padre Pio. So I guess I'll start with just my quick story about Padre Pio, because it's going to relate to something that you're holding there in your hands. So I didn't really know Padre Pio very well, but I had a friend who we were kind of just addicted to going to wherever a relic is. And so we would, you know, go visit different shrines and retreats and whatnot. And I was on retreat, and much to my surprise, I wasn't expecting this, even though I was quite addicted, they brought out Padre Pio's glove, and we were all going to venerate it. I want to make sure people know that we don't worship objects, we venerate. They come from very holy people, people who figured out what we're trying to figure out. So we come and we allow ourselves to be blessed by these objects that are connected to a prayer. All sacramentals are connected to a prayer of the church. So we're not worshiping gloves, but this one came from Padre Pio, who had the stigmata. So it was covered in his blood. And I touched my I have lots of Catholic swag, as most Catholic women do. I have a scapula and a miraculous medal and a crucifix, and I touched it to the glove. It was a very powerful, beautiful moment, and on my way I went. A few months later, I'm a Catholic speaker, and I was giving a talk to teenagers, which is always fun. It's always so easy to do that, right, to talk to teenagers about living a moral life. They love hearing that stuff. And one of the teachers came up to me afterwards, and he was an exorcist, which was fascinating in and of itself. And he said, you know, I got to tell you something. Before we have a speaker speak, I always ask Padre Pio to be with them. He goes, the weirdest thing happened, and I'm hoping you can explain it. He said, I went to pray, and I already felt his presence all around you. Why would that be? And I said, oh my goodness, that's so crazy. And I told him about the miraculous medal touching his relic. And I was like, oh, I've always felt his presence since that day, but this was affirmation, but it gets better. After that, I went and I was finished my talk, and I came back, and the man said, okay, now you're going to think I'm really crazy, but Padre Pio wants you to ask to be his spiritual child. And I had never heard of this concept before, that he invited people to be his spiritual children, and what great care he takes of them. In fact, saying that he wouldn't enter heaven until all his spiritual children entered there with him. And I went home to look up more about Padre Pio in the spiritual, daughterhood. And that's when I realized he and my father shared the same birthday. Well, what this man didn't know is that I had a really tough relationship with my dad. And we were reconciled in the end after a very long illness of his. But at that time, we were not. And it was just such an overwhelming acknowledgement to me that heaven is real, that veil between heaven and earth is super thin, and that we are not pilgrims on this journey on this earth alone, that we are so covered in love from heaven. So that is my story, and that's probably why I get so excited about Padre Pio. And when you reached out, I made you wait, because today we had to wait till today to talk about his amazing presence here in our lives, in our world. Like, he's in heaven, but he's not far away at all. So I want you to share first about your relic, and I know you've had some similar powerful experiences with him yourself.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, Allison. And I have some very similar experiences. As a matter of fact, the first time, I'll try and do this briefly, because I had three similar experiences that you did. And the first one was a dream I had, and it was about 17 or 18 years ago, and I was in Georgia. And Padre Pio, and this, by the way, I tell these three stories in the back of my book. I kind of saved it for the afterwards. I didn't want to sort of lead with this because they're personal. And when I wrote the book, I really hadn't shared about it with too many people. But now I am, just because the more I share, the more I hear other people with their Padre Pio stories. And I kind of feel like mine are really not that special, because he was just so powerful. So the first one, I was kind of like you. I knew who he was because my wife is from Southern Italy, in Puglia, the region of Puglia. And we had been to San Giovanni Rotondo years ago. And I knew a little bit about Padre Pio and the stigmata and the things about him, but I didn't know too much about him. And I maybe was a little skeptical about it. I was a convert. I came into the church in 1996, discovered Padre Pio shortly thereafter. But anyway, my dream, he appeared to me as I was sleeping, and I kind of woke up, and he was sort of standing there. And he said, I didn't hear it verbally, I kind of heard it interiorly. He said, I would like to touch your hand. So I was sleeping on my right side, so I held up my left hand, and he said, no, not that hand, the right hand. And I kind of rolled over a little bit and held up my right hand, and then he disappeared. And I was awake at the time, and I said, well, that's interesting. I just had a dream of Padre Pio. And I didn't even know much about him to know that those kinds of dreams were very common with Padre Pio. Mm. My wife was in Italy at the time. I was in Georgia. So I called her the next day, and we were talking. I said, oh, by the way, Padre, I had a dream of Padre Pio. That's how I said it. I said I had a dream of Padre Pio. But now I know a lot more about him. And looking back, it was not a dream. It's called a nocturnal visitation. And dreams are subjective. Dreams are things that are thoughts or processing, firing around in our minds, and it's at the subconscious level, and there's neurons, and it's something physical that happens internally. A nocturnal visitation is something that happens objectively. The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, touches us in a certain way through a saint. He uses saints, not Padre Pio. He's the intercessor. It's always God coming through Padre Pio. So it was an objective experience. He was actually there in his spirit, but objectively, it was an objective spirit. It wasn't there physically, but it was not something happened internally. It was something externally, but I didn't know that at the time. It was just some kind of a curiosity. To me, it was a dream.
Beautiful.
And then a relic, a number of years ago, at my home parish in Georgia, a priest named Father Carlos Martins has a collection of relics, first-class relics, called the Treasures of the Church. He came to my parish, and he gave a talk, and he talked about the saints, and he talked about what you did. You know, we don't worship relics. We don't worship gloves. We venerate them. He told that very clearly. And he said, you know, now, and he also said that as Catholics, we believe in guardian angels, but he said, I believe we have guardian saints. And he told a story about Saint Maria Goretti, which is he believes is his guardian saint. And he said, you might have guardian saints too. So go out into the reliquary hall and take a saint, maybe someone you know of, that you maybe know a little bit about or feel called to, take that relic and touch it to your heart. Pick it up and touch it to your heart. So I'm a third order Franciscan. I went straight to St. Francis. I picked a relic up. I touch it to my heart. I wear a towel, a Franciscan towel. And there was a relic. I touched it to my heart and I kind of waited. Didn't really feel much. Next to St. Francis, there was a relic of St. Clair. I took that relic and touched it to my heart. And actually felt something a little bit with St. Clair, but just kind of... Then I saw Padre Pio and I said, oh, that guy, that was the one who came to me in the dream. I took the relic. I don't know if it was a bone relic. I don't know what it was. I took it and I touched it to my heart and I felt a jolt, a physical, wow, almost electric, like powerful punch to my midsection. It didn't feel bad or necessarily good. It wasn't pleasurable. It was just a strong, powerful sensation. I pulled it away. I said, whoa. And I said, maybe that's what Father Carlos was talking about. So I did it again. I touched it again. I felt it again. And so I put it away and I said, wow, I thought I would have this experience with St. Francis. And it turns out with Padre Pio. So a third time, this was a couple of years ago, and I was in San Giovanni Rotondo. I was meeting one of the last living spiritual sons of Padre Pio. And we were meeting at 11 o'clock mass. I got there early, about 10:30, to the ancient church. And I was sitting there. There was nobody there. It was in February, March, and it was the off season. It was kind of cold. As I was sitting there praying, I was next to the women's confessional in the rear of the old church. And all of a sudden, I'd been there about 10 minutes. There was nobody else there. All of a sudden, I was inundated with the sense of rose fragrance. It was just like somebody was standing in front of me, pumping this kind of spray of rose perfume, rose-smelling perfume. I said, whoa. It lasted for a few moments. Then it kind of went away. Then Adolfo came, and we went into the church, the newer church. And there was mass at 11 o'clock. And he got there right at mass, the time it was beginning. I didn't have time to tell him about the rose. And we went in, mass started. And then just during the liturgy of the Eucharist, when the priest held up the Holy Host, I smelled it again. It just came over me. And it was so strong. And I leaned over to Adolfo and I said, Adolfo, his wife was sitting behind us with a friend. I said, is your wife or her friend wearing rose scented perfume? And he said, no. And I said, do you smell perfume? Do you smell rose fragrance? And he smiled and he said, Brett, this is a gift. Well, this is a gift from Padre Pio for you. It's not for me.
Wow.
I've had that in the past. It's not for me. It's for you. So that was the third kind of capstone of the experience that I realized Padre Pio was, like you said, he was my spiritual father. I was born in 1972, 6 years after he died. I didn't have the opportunity to ask him personally, physically, to be my spiritual father. But I believe he is my spiritual father, just like you. I consider myself a spiritual son. And he's just been lots of blessings. Your father was born on his birthday. and my mother died on his feast day. And I really asked Padre Pio to accompany my mother during this time where she was sick. And about 1:30 in the morning, her time, she was in Georgia, 1:30 in the morning, her time, on the September 23rd when she passed away. So I believe he accompanied her. And so I have a very strong devotion to Padre Pio with all of that. And so this book just kind of came out of that. It was very natural. And what I did was I wanted to visit all the sites where he lived. A lot of people have been to Italy on pilgrimage. We'll go to Pietro. They all go to San Giovanni Rotondo. Some go to Pietrelcina, but there's about 10 sites in between. And these are sites that he lived at, in some cases, for about a year, where he did his novitiate in a place called Morcone, another place called Sant'Elia in Pianese. He was there for 3 years studying. A lot of places, a couple of these places, he was there for a few days or a few months. But I made it, this is my goal. I'm going to go to all 10 sites in his province. So I visited them, and that became my book. So what I do in my book is I talk about his life. And there's a lot of books on his life. But I take the life, and then I interweave the places where he lived during that portion of his life and kind of accompany it with my personal experience going to these places. So I'm in the book, you know, my personal experience. I use the first person plural, the we, because I'm kind of accompanying people to these places. And so it's his life, and it's also a personal accompanied pilgrimage kind of experience to the places he lived. So it was a beautiful time. I went there for about a week. And wrote it about a month afterwards. And so I did it in October of last year. So it all happened this last fall and early winter.
Which is really cool. Like what I loved about it, first of all, I'm going to give away my age. And so one of the things I think is really cool is that I shared the earth with Padre Pio for only a few months because he died in 1968, which again gives away.
Yeah, I said 66, right? 68, yeah.
68, yes. So I was born in July and he passed away in September, but I love the fact that we shared the earth for just a little while. What I liked about your book, Following Padre Pio, again from Icona Press, I'll have the links for it so everybody can get a copy of it, check it out, is that I would love someday to go to Italy. You know, everybody's got a bucket list. I would love to go on pilgrimage, but the chances are not very good that this is going to happen. And if it does, I might not make it to all 10 places. What I loved about your book, Brett, is that I felt like I was on pilgrimage. I took this pilgrimage, you know, from my home where I could reflect. Because pilgrimage is different than a trip. It's different than a vacation. It is a spiritual experience. It is a time of reflection, of growing closer to God through your experience. And I feel like that's what Following Padre Pio, your new book, did for me. So I think that's something that people should understand about. Like you said, there's lots of books on Padre Pio's life. And maybe people might think, oh, it's his experience. It wouldn't be mine. But and you use that we, and it does become your experience because we get to travel these beautiful places and experience Padre Pio's spirituality from our homes, from our adoration chapels, from wherever we are. And I think that's the beauty of the written word and being able to experience things through other people's experiences. That's really great English I got going there, but I think I made my point.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I have been accompanying groups here for almost 20 years. And so I kind of had pilgrims in mind when I was writing it and sort of what their experience might be and trying to kind of look at how, reflect on how they tend to see things. And also for me, with the exception of Pietrelcina and San Giovanni, and I also went to Monte Sant'Angelo, which is close to Padre Pio, so San Giovanni. With the exception of those three sites, I'd never been to these other places before. So I was really seeing them for the first time as well. So it was a new experience for me also.
So as we finish up our time, was there any particular experience that was just unexpected? And I'm sure there was lots of them, but just one that maybe you'd like to share with our listeners.
Yeah. The most powerful experience was one that I thought was going to be one of the least important experiences because it was a little place in a kind of a nondescript town south of Pietrelcina, kind of southeast, and it was called Gesualdo. He was only there for a few months. It just wasn't that important. But I wanted to go to all 10 places, so I said, I'm going to go there. So it was raining when I got there. I said, I'm just going to kind of hit and run, maybe take a few photographs, look at the church and leave. So I rang the bell. And about 30 seconds later, an elderly voice answers, "See?" And so I explained who I was, what I was doing. He said, come on in, or I'll be right there. Opens up, elderly Capuchin friar. He was there by himself. So we started talking. I told him what I was doing. He said, "Oh, that's really interesting." He said, "Okay, come on in. I'll show you around." So he brings me into the cloister. We start walking around. He goes and shows me the courtyard, the black and white photographs on the wall. Padre Pio was all over the place. And he shows me one. There's all these young friars of the 1960s. It's in black and white. He points them all out, and he tells me who they all are. They were all his companions, students that they were all studying together. And then he points out himself, a young friar in the middle. He was right next to Padre Pio. I said, "Wow." I said, "Did you have the opportunity maybe to confess to Padre Pio?" And he said, "Confess to him." He goes, "I was with him when he died." I said, "Really?"
What?
I said, "Whoa." So I said, I said, "No kidding." So then he like kind of moves on. Like it's just saying, "Yeah, my uncle was, he was a CEO at Delta and, you know, whatever, just talking like it's kind of normal." And then he was just telling me and showing me around. So I kept trying to go back to this. "Tell me about Padre Pio. Tell me more." Yeah. So he had the summers off when he was studying, and they could go wherever they wanted in the province. So he went back to San Giovanni Rotondo, and he said, "Yeah." Then he got sick. I was there for about a month. Then he got sick, and then he died. He said that morning I was with him when he celebrated Mass. And it was on the 22nd. It was the last day he celebrated Mass. And he said, as a matter of fact, when he washed his hands in the lavabo, the, you know, Tridentine Mass, the priest would wash their hands before. And he said some of the scab flaked off. And he said, "I put in a little reservoir repository, and I kept it." He said, "I've got it upstairs in my study, my studio." And I said, "Really?" I said, "I'd like to see it." He goes, "Well, I don't have too much left." He said, "There's really just a flake left because over the years I've given a lot away." Wow. And he said, "There was some Spanish friends about 6 months ago, and I gave half to them." I was thinking, "Wow, really? I wanted that last piece of scab." But that's not how it worked out. So we did the tour, showed me around, and he was ready to say bye. And he's in his 80s now, this friar. And so he's kind of forgetful. And I said, "What about your office, your studio?" He said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, come on up." So he takes me into this room, and it was kind of cluttered, like what you would expect with an 85-year-old friar. And he goes through boxes and shelves and drawers and loads up his desk with all this memorabilia, black and white photographs, news articles, magazines. He starts showing pictures of himself. And so he got a bag and just starts filling it up with things. It's right here. So he fills up this plastic bag with all these things, prayer cards. They've been touched to his tomb and all, you know, third class relics here, magazines. So he just gives it to me. But then I said, "Look, what about the scab relic?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "Where did I put that?" So he finally goes to the drawer, pulls it, and it was like a little plastic piece of kind of wrap. And he goes, "Hold it up to the light. You could barely see it. I mean, it's the size of like a hole punch, tiny." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I can barely see it." And I said, "What would it take for an American friend to get this, to have this?" He said, "Well, that's the last I have. I can't give you that." Then he said, "But," he goes through, pulls out like another little envelope, and he pulls this out. And he said, when we exhumed his body in 2008, there was a lot of liquid in the coffin. And he said they had put a shroud, kind of a burial cloth over the top of him. And he said it was soaked and absorbed liquid. And he said, "We cut it off into pieces and we kind of distributed it amongst ourselves." But he pulled out like two pieces and he gave me this.
Wow. Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, well, it's probably bigger than it looks. It's like about the size of my fingers.
No, that was so maybe way bigger than I expected.
Yeah, so this is a piece of burial cloth that absorbed part of his decomposing body. So it is a first-class relic. I'm kind of keeping it here for now. Eventually, I'm going to get a little small reliquary container and keep it, and I'll keep a little bit to myself. Then I'll have another piece that I'll keep in my wallet to carry around and let people handle. So, yeah, so that was the biggest gift of the experience. Wasn't expecting, and I thought it'd be a little hit and run, take a few pictures, and I'm on my way to the better, more important places. But his name was Father Emidio, Padre Emidio, and I didn't really have enough time to thank him enough. So after I got home, about a week later, I called him up, and I said, "I was the American that was down there last week." And I said, "I really want to thank you for that beautiful experience." And he told stories, you know, being with Padre Pio, what it was like. So his stories are in the book. other stories, other people, and everybody knew him down there. Everybody knows him down there, especially the older friars. Everybody has a Padre Pio encounter down there, and they all speak of him as sort of a distant uncle or somebody that is just part of the family. So it was a beautiful experience and a wonderful book, and I appreciate you having me on the show to give me the opportunity to talk about it.
My pleasure, and I appreciate you being patient so that we could do this again on Padre Pio's birthday. How can people find out more about your pilgrimages, find out more about following Padre Pio, your new book?
So the best way to get the book is through Amazon. It's an ebook format and paperback, and also there's a hardback version. It's kind of expensive, but the ebook is in the paperback are pretty reasonable. So you can put my name, Brett Thoman, or following Padre Pio, and it'll pop up. And then I've got about a dozen or so other titles, translations, and books on Amazon. And then my pilgrimage company is stfrancispilgrimages.com. So, and I take people down there, too. As a matter of fact, I was just down there about a month ago with a lady and her two daughters. And they have a whole other personal experience with Padre Pio. The woman's from Georgia, and her daughter was born. And when she was in vitro, the doctor said she had a problem with her heart. So Padre Pio started appearing to her, both the mother in a dream and one of the sisters. The girl has five older sisters. So both the mother and the daughter, one of the older daughters started receiving dreams, nocturnal visitations by Padre Pio. And I really got to see how he intervened in this woman's and this family's life, because it wasn't like an instantaneous healing. You know, a lot of times we'll go to Lourdes or even Loreto or Padre Pio, the great saints, and we'll say, God, please heal me of this. You know, a lot of times we want a total, perfect, clean healing immediately, never comes back. That's not what most people get, but she got a real a long-term grace. He appeared over time to her. And what I was saying was I had some experience with Padre Pio, but this woman smells roses and she smells them frequently.
Wow.
And so he intervenes in lots of people's lives in different ways. So anyway, I go down there from time to time to Padre Pio and take people down there, and then also to other places here in central Italy, Loreto, Assisi, and Rome, and so forth.
Well, I hope today we're going to be adding to his spiritual childrenhood family, because he's just such an incredible saint. Again, to say that he wouldn't enter heaven, of course, we know that doesn't happen, but, you know, to say that he wouldn't enter heaven until he had all his spiritual children with him just, I think, shows the heart of how much he loved people and how much he loved and wants to see souls be saved. And he is a very powerful intercessor. So, again, thank you so much for following Padre Pio. I can't recommend it enough. I'll have the links to all the things we talked about today. Brett Thoman, thank you so much for this amazing way to start my day on Padre Pio's birthday.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's been a real pleasure. And just tonight in our prayer, we'll just go to Padre Pio and ask him to continue to intercede for us and all your listeners. And, you know, we go to God. Go to Christ. You know, we turn to God in prayer. He answers all prayers in many ways that we really don't even understand, but he will answer and does answer all prayers. And he uses lots of different means and tools to do that.
Amen to that. Thank you again. You have been listening to a Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.